Welcome to the Dynasty Happy Hour podcast. Pull up a chair and kick up your feet as you get ready to enjoy some of the industry's most entertaining and actionable Dynasty content on the planet. We're talking veterans, rookies, sleepers, and oh yeah, you know the crew has those dad jokes ready for you. So let's not wait any longer and bring on the host or some combination of Doug and Tyler.
Welcome back to the Dynasty Happy Hour. We are just days ahead of the NFL draft. By the time you hear this, the draft might be as early as tomorrow. I am excited. I'm here with my co-host, Tyler Gunther, and we are going to bring you mock drafts this week. We are going to do a two-round Superflex rookie mock draft, as well as a two-round single QB mock draft between Tyler and I. Tyler's going to have the first pick in the Superflex League here in a minute. But first, I want to say, hi, Tyler. How you doing?
What's up? I'm good. It's going to be a great week. I put on X that nothing can get me down this week. And so far, so good. It, you know, Thursday can't come soon enough, but let's enjoy the waiting period, because once the draft is done, we have a very, very long waiting period after our rookie drafts. That's why I've got a couple that are slated for like late May. And I really enjoy that, because once it's done, it's done. Like, we got to wait a whole nother year for this whole process. So for me, I'm just kind of soaking it in. I'm not trying to rush the days. Day.
You're not going to ping people to be like, make your pick.
No.
You're actually going to give people time and savor it like I've been telling you for years to do.
I actually was terrible at that when I first started this whole thing.
Not terrible, Tyler. You were awful.
If you go talk to, Smash Accept, it is a Dynasty podcast. They're very good. And Michael was part of the first ever Dynasty League I was in the industry. And I was that guy. John Bosch was in it. And I was like, hey, who's up? And Bosch, you know, longtime friend of the show, actually told me like, hey, dude, like once it's over, it's done. So the past couple of years, I've gotten awesome at just like, okay, whatever. And if
I've never understood to rush through it for what? What are you hurrying up for?
If it hits like 12 hours, you can ping the person just so they know. But
sure,
like if you got a 24-hour clock, which MFL has, I know Sleeper has like 16 hours or something like that. But yeah, if you have that long clock, let them take their time. Like, we got busy lives, and when the availability comes to check, maybe they're checking trade offers. And hey, the longer on the clock, I've noticed, the better value you can get for that pick if you're trying to trade back, because the more antsy people get and the more they look at that rookie board and they're like, ooh, I get this guy. Ooh, I could get this guy. Ooh, piece of candy.
Very much. Ooh, piece of candy. Yeah, I savor it. I don't rush through. It's a weird thing for me, for people to want to plow through. It's the same thing with like the Scott Fishbowl draft, is when they have on offline drafts, people are like racing to get to the end, and I'm like,
yeah,
it's fun. Like, let it breathe. Like, why do you just want to I guess it's maybe the American way is to just rush through everything to get to the next thing. And I'm all like, man, just slow down and savor it. And
like draft night, I want them to take the whole time, because I'm there with friends. I'm there to watch it.
100%.
I don't get to get out that much. Like, enjoy the draft. Enjoy your surroundings. Even if you're just sitting at home, savor every minute of the pick. Like, the time clock, you know, the clock ticking down. Enjoy that, because you've only got 3 days of draft and then it's done.
Yep, exactly. And speaking of done, we've got a couple of news and notes here. And the first one is J.K. Dobbins. He's not done, but he might be close. He is signing with the Los Angeles Chargers on a one-year deal. It's the Dobbins and Edwards show again. They were together in Baltimore, and now they're together on the West Coast. Interesting. I mean, it's the Chargers, I think they're obviously going to draft a running back as well. I think this gave a little bit of life to Dobbins in your dynasty leagues, because he was dusty. You know, you're probably like, if I get a third for him, I'm happy. At this point. So I think it gave him a little bit of boost in value. And if the Chargers don't do anything at running back, then Dobbins' value will go up and even a little bit more. But I fully assume they're probably going to draft at least a running back. It's only Isaiah Spiller, Dobbins, and Edwards on that roster. Josh Kelly's a free agent. And I don't think they have anyone else there. So that was good news to see him sign with a team and maybe get some opportunity in a backfield that has some opportunity and with a running mate that he's familiar working with. So I think that that was pretty good. I have Dobbins in a couple of leagues still, so that made me smile a little bit.
Yeah, and if you go check out on X, Ray Garvin, good friend of show, guy is in our intro. He had an Achilles injury, and he posted on X with the Aaron Rodgers news, and he said, look at the video of Aaron Rodgers' calf. Apparently there's...
The atrophy is real.
Yes, his calf is tiny, and like Ray, if you've seen him, he's a big dude. He's got that running back lower body. He's thick on the lower body, and his calf is tiny. And like on his podcast, he was talking he's busted his ass to get back into it, and he goes, the progress is so slow, and that doctors have told him like you are never getting back to what the definition was before, but you can get 80%. Now you can kind of tell like why running backs don't get that full 100% back, because first of all, you look down your leg and you're sitting there like, do I even have the oomph anymore to do what I used to?
It does give me hope, because Cam Akers did come back, and he came back in a time frame that was way ahead of time. He had that different type of surgery that they're doing now, same thing that Rodgers had. Yeah, so, you know, Akers came back and he looked good until he...
If you can get a third for Dobbins, you're good at checking out?
I think you're doing okay. Yeah, because especially in this running back class, because there's going to be a lot of running backs that people like in the third round. So I'm all for that. Some other news, Brandon Ayuk maybe gets traded on draft night. Supposedly, you know, there's conflicting reports. John Lynch is like, oh, we're working to sign him. Ayuk unfollowed the team, which is, you know, we've seen that tactic a billion times. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. So maybe Ayuk is on the move on draft day. So that's something to keep an eye on. And what was the other thing? Oh, it looks like Rashee Rice is going to serve a multi-game suspension, according to Adam Schefter. The Chiefs said that Kadarius Toney is their most talented wide receiver on the roster right now. And I puked in my mouth.
So Kansas City is a team I could see actually trading back into this, like a team up front, like the Raiders or something. And then they draft an early second rounder, like a Ladd McConkey, if he falls a little bit. The Chiefs, though, are going to draft a receiver, and it's going to be higher than you think. And it's going, no matter what, Rashee Rice's value right now is going to drop. You know, if it's a suspension, if it's getting drafted. So if you have Rice, and Doug, I know you traded Rice for the 111, which congratulations, that was fantastic. I dealt Rice. I got, you know, Jaden Reed back, and there's another swap in there, but it was pretty much Reed for Rice. I think now's the time, if you look at the tea leaves. Like if you're a Rashee Rice fan, that's great. He showed promise, but I think we saw who he is. He's a great number two for a team. He's never going to be the alpha, the guy. So for me, the way Kansas City distributes the ball, especially if they get a pass-catching running back, like, say, a Will Shipley in the third or fourth, I think we're seeing his value ceiling fall, and I think we're going to see it even more. So right now, I think, is the time to maybe look to see if anybody wants to take the chance, maybe 201. Like you did 111. I think that's the ceiling.
Yeah, that got proposed to me, and I was like, it took me about 30 seconds of thinking, and I was like, let me look at the big picture, and I was like, yeah, I'll give up Rashee Rice for the 111 for sure.
Yeah, and honestly,
in a super flex league.
And honestly, if you have Hollywood Brown, I know there's a lot of people that aren't fans of him, but he is legit one of those players that is worth more on your team than he is dealing, because I don't think you're going to get the first round pick that me personally, I think he is actually worth, because he will have big boom games. He, to me, is a fancier Gabe Davis on the Chiefs. He's going to have massive weeks. He will. He'll have two touchdowns, 120 yards. But he's going to have those weeks that you're kind of kicking yourself, the 3 for 20. But right now, everybody's saying trade Hollywood Brown. I've heard that. Don't, because you're not going to get what you actually deserve for him. Let him sit. Let him have a boom game. Maybe in season you can get that 25 first, because people are more willing to deal that first in season.
Yep, 100%. I think that was it. What was there? There was something else I thought.
T. Higgins is staying apparently, but
yes,
we all knew that because Mike Brown, the owner, hates trading away anything. So
that's true. Yeah, it's going to be interesting for draft night. I'm really looking forward to it. And I'm looking forward to these rookie drafts that start on the Monday or some on the Sunday.
Saturday for UDPL.
No, that's right. That does start Saturday. I got to make sure I'll be on the road for a little bit, but I don't pick until 105.
I'll text you a couple times.
Yeah. I'm at the 105. I think it'll be okay. I think it'll be all right.
I'll ping you four all times. Right.
I did want to give a shit out.
What's a shit out? Oh, that's good. That might be one of the best slips we've had in this podcast for a while.
Let's give a good shit out.
Like a really nice 20-minute shit out.
I want to give a shout out to Trophy Smack, who makes products that aren't shit. They're the best in the business when it comes to trophies, belts, customization, anything you want. Our former co-host James has a custom chef belt. It's awesome. I love their product. I love what they're doing. Draft boards, highly recommend. We used them at the Scott Fish Bowl last year in Boston. They're a lot of fun. They have fun stickers, and they're just – I didn't have to write in a single name, which is rare. So love Trophy Smack for their draft boards. They're getting to be the best in the business in that as well. Just taking over. They're backed by Mark Cuban and Shark Tank. So make sure you check out Trophy Smack and use code DHHRING for a free $60 championship ring when you check out, when you buy a trophy or a belt. All right, Tyler, we are going to go super flex – draft first, and you all have right. The 101. I think I know what you're doing, so go ahead and do it.
Yeah, it's Caleb Williams for me. I get if you've got two quarterbacks, you might go a different direction, but honestly, the way values work in Superflex, even if you've got two good quarterbacks, it just still makes sense to get Caleb. He's one of the more the safer prospects in this draft to me, the one who I think has the safety net of, if he doesn't have a great year one, he'll still be fine like Trevor Lawrence did. I mean, we haven't had this hype of a quarterback since Trevor Lawrence probably. So for me, Caleb is the slam dunk 101. Even if you got two good quarterbacks, still take him, or maybe even just
you never
trade
have
back.
Enough good quarterbacks. In a
yes, exactly. Like, even in the case of Trevor Lawrence, you thought you had a slam dunk top five quarterback. It didn't work out. You have, like, there's a league where I have Stroud, Trevor Lawrence, and Tua. And I still feel like, okay, I got two quarterback twos, a quarterback one. Mm-hmm. I can kind of intertwine them both, maybe in season trade one if I have an injury elsewhere. It's always nice to have that safety because, quarterbacks are definitely king in Superflex. And Caleb, the way he's been hyped for his whole career, let's go. Caleb Williams.
Yeah, and he gets dropped into a good situation. I mean, I'm assuming Chicago's going to take him. And he's set up for success between, you know, a good O-line, which they could build on, a good wide receiver core, which they could also build on. They have the 109 as well. A good backfield. He's set up for success in his rookie year, which is great.
He's got pink fingernails and a pink phone case.
Who cares? And DK Metcalf uses a binky for his mouthpiece. Oh, no.
So I saw a video today on X that really, really bugged me. It was like GMs are really concerned about Caleb Williams' character, how he cried on his mom after he lost. And he was out
oh,
of
no,
the...
Oh, he's emotional.
And that's my issue is like, okay, these old head GMs think, oh, tough. Like... Now it's to the point, like, we're going to day and age where people are able to express themselves, you know, in different ways. And old GMs, of course, probably don't like seeing anything like that. They're probably
owners do.
Yeah. So I think we're going to see a lot more of this. This is going to become the norm, which is fine with me. Like, if he wants pink fingernails, like, I posted on Twitter, like, purple's been my favorite color forever. But when I was younger, due to social norms, I was actually nervous to say, hey, I like purple, because you had friends that were like, oh, you like purple. It's a girl's color. So I was always like red, green. Like I never said it was purple, but that was the day and age like I lived in. And it's nice to be able to see people express themselves. Like I have one of my good friends who's I'm going to his bar to watch the draft. His favorite color is pink. And you know what? He's 6'8". And he was always just like, oh, well, if you don't like what I like, who
I'll
cares?
Under the ground.
Yeah, pretty much.
You know, back in my day, we didn't even have color. So
everything was black and white until the Truman Show.
What a luxury to have. It's very. I'm up at the 102, and for me, this is an easy pick. I know this is super flex. Could I easily go with a quarterback here? The answer to that is yes, but I am going to go with, by all accounts, the generational prospect, best wide receiver prospect since Calvin Johnson, Marvin Harrison Jr. I think he is rock solid. I don't think he has many flaws in his game whatsoever. I don't care where he lands. It does not matter to me. I am going to take Marv at the 102. Even if he goes to like the Giants at 106, which I saw in a mock yesterday, I don't care. Marv is that good, and I'm happy to take him at the 102 and make him a centerpiece. He's going to be what, the top five dynasty wide receiver out of the gate.
Yeah, before he even touches training camp, he will be a top five.
So yeah, Marv is an easy pick for me here.
Yeah, 100%. The crazy thing with Marv is in our pre-NFL draft, rookie draft, I took Marv, and I went to the Justin Jefferson owner with the whole quarterback situation. I said, hey, Marv straight up for Jefferson. He took 2 days to actually think about it, because it's to the point where you got, if Marv lands in Arizona, the speculation is he's getting 140, 150 targets right off the bat.
Probably pretty easily. Yeah.
He's the guy. So Marv could actually walk into a situation where he, after year one, he's the order is going to go Jefferson, Chase, Lamb, Marv. Like that's probably what we're probably looking at. And I think Marv is he's probably the safest for sure bets in this draft class. Like, you know, for sure you're getting at least a wide receiver too.
And don't be surprised if the Bears at 109 try to make a move to get up to get Harrison.
See, I think they just don't have many picks. That's my issue.
I think they're going all in. I think they want to be the buzz of the NFL. So, yeah.
I mean, if
it happens, I called it. If not, it's okay. I just have this feeling.
Yeah, if that happens, Caleb will be legit untouchable for probably 3 years.
Probably. It's going to be insane.
And Marv will probably be right there. It'll be a Burrow Chase type situation.
It would be sick.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't put it past the Bears to make that kind of bold move. I know they don't have a ton of draft picks, but you know what? Be bold.
Hey, you've always got next year. Next year's picks.
That's true. All right. What do you got at the 103, Tyler?
All right. Now, this one is interesting. I actually had one typed in, because we're using our chat to kind of tell each other what picks are. I had one typed in. Then I deleted it because you know how I said quarterbacks are king. So I'm going to go that route, but the one I'm choosing will surprise you, and that is Drake May. Okay. I'm a May guy. I love Drake May. I don't think it matters if he goes to New
Tyler,
England.
Tyler, I have breaking news. Pretty soon, it's going to be May.
Oh, my God. And if New England gets him, it will definitely drop his value. People will be like, oh, Drake May, New England, this hurts his value. To me, this team will have a lot of picks. They will have a lot of cap, and they'll have a lot of like youth around them. DeMario Douglas is not a bad receiver. Kendrick Bourne is not a bad receiver. But the thing is, May will be able to sit behind Brissett, learn from Brissett. And one thing May's already got, pre-snap reads, and he's amazing at throwing in the middle of the field. That's like, May and McCarthy are great at anticipation throws in the middle of the field. And that is where New England, I think, can kind of survive the lack of weapons for now. They can use their running backs. They can use DeMario Douglas out of the slot. They'll use Kendrick Bourne on the outside every so often to take shots, which Drake May loves to take shots. We've learned that. But I do think sitting behind Brissett will help. And, hey, if it's Minnesota, which, perfect. Like, if May goes to Minnesota, that is the perfect situation. And I think if that happens, we'll see May maybe climb ahead of the next quarterback, which the reason why I didn't take the other quarterback, Jane Daniels, is because I actually think there's bigger issues there. Like, he took a while to hit. His agent, I guess just his agent, kind of comes off as a jackass. And Jane Daniels hasn't come off as the greatest person in the world either, in my opinion. So, yeah, and also Jane Daniels likes to throw himself against defenders and just get smoked. So for me, I'm going to take the big arm quarterback.
Washington's seen a quarterback that's done that before.
Yeah, Yeah. And so for me, I'm going to take the big arm, huge quarterback, Justin Herbert style, which everybody has issues with Herbert his rookie year. And hey, look how good that worked out. Yeah.
Yeah, I think May is very polarizing because you listen to some scouts and experts that love May, and some are like, he needs to sit for multiple years and do the Jordan Love thing. Like, he has the tools, but this and that. And I'm like, he is very polarizing. And I think that might cause him, if he gets picked at 3 to New England, I think he might slide in these Superflex League, some of these Superflex League drafts, because people will be scared.
100%.
Maybe he gets to like 106, 107. In drafts, that would not surprise me.
In a league we're in, Herbert dropped to 109. 109, Justin Herbert. Just because people are like,
10 pick.
People are like, oh, Herbert doesn't have it. He's going to have to sit a while. So,
Yeah. So I'm up at the 104. And, you know, we talked about Daniels, really a 1 year wonder. And, you know, two first round receivers around him. And I'm going to take his teammate, Malik Nabers at 104.
Okay.
Here's the thing about quarterback. I know super flex leagues are, everyone's like, gotta have a quarterback. I am embracing starting one quarterback and building deeper rosters and having second tier quarterbacks that you can get cheaper, like a Jared Goff or a veteran that's solid, a Kirk Cousins, for instance. Without going and getting this draft capital, because you know what? The hit rate with first round quarterbacks is 50%. The hit rate with first round wide receivers is closer to 80. So for me, I tend to play a little bit safer. I'm a little bit more risk averse. And it scares the living bejesus out of me to spend the 104 on a quarterback and then have him not hit. Like, imagine those guys that took Zach Wilson in the top 5.
Oh.
And you got absolutely dick.
Even Tua. Even Tua right now, people are still on the fence with Tua. And he was, what, 102, 103?
Yep. So for me, you know, half of these guys are going to hit. That's the rule of thumb.
Yep.
I'm going to go with the player that I think is going to hit big. You know, I took Marv at 102. Nabers probably has a higher ceiling than Marv because of his electricity and speed and his ability to take a slant and take it to the house. So for me, Nabers is a pretty easy pick here at 104. Not much else needs to be said. Again, I don't really care where he lands. I think he's going to be an impact player year one right out of the gate.
Yeah. And so for me, if you are out of the Caleb sweepstakes, you know what you should go out and do? Trade 102, 103 for a Brock Purdy plus. Purdy was like quarterback 6 or 7 overall. And he is still looked at as like people just hate him because he's the last pick in the draft 2 years ago.
He's not exciting,
but yet
they're waiting for the floor to fall out underneath him for some reason.
Which it won't. He's gonna get paid, and that's when we're finally gonna be like, oh, okay, like they committed. But it's going to be too late because he's going to be a top 8 dynasty quarterback by then. And we're going to be like, oh, okay, here we go. It's Tom Brady all over again. Like, I know that doesn't happen often, but we are legit looking at the version of it. But with Tom Brady, it was always like, is it going to stay? Is it going to stay?
I think my move, if I had I'm going to take Marv at the 102 regardless.
Okay.
If I had the 103 and I didn't want any of these quarterbacks, I would shuffle down for maybe 3. And pick up one of these other players, non-quarterbacks, that is, I think, are all 3 of them early, whether it's Nabers. I'm sure we're going to talk about Rome as well as Brock Bowers here shortly. I wouldn't mind sliding down from 103 to like 106. I'd be okay with that.
Yeah, and if you need a quarterback, like I said, go look at a Brock Purdy and be like, okay, the team who has Purdy has 108. I can get Purdy, get the 108. Say you get, you know, the last of the elite tier, which will probably be, and or maybe you're not a JJ McCarthy guy. Say you get a Brian Thomas. Yep. That's fine. Look at trading back. Like, say you need the safety of a hit, and these rookies are appealing, and they could be really good. Like, the guy I'm going to take, I'll just jump right into it, Jane Daniels at 105. I get there's risk, and I get I'm not a fan, but man, that rushing upside, if he does hit, is Lamar Jackson-esque. it will definitely carry weight for his whole career, just depending on how long that career is and how long he can make it last. But Jane Daniels is polarizing just as much as May is. Like, I think these two could just be home runs, or they could just be like, May could be a Sam Darnold and Daniels could be a Justin Fields. Like, we could look at that stuff, and it kind of sucks because you pass on elite receivers if you draft them, you know, 102, 103. And I think these three receivers are hits. Like, I think we're looking at three elite hits. So, yeah, Daniels is my pick. I thought about going the third receiver. That was a close choice. But Daniels, just with the upside and super flex, for me, is just way too juicy to pass up at 105. So you're not paying the 102 elite tier. You're giving up the 105 for him, which I think I would be fine with doing.
Yeah. Are we doing tight end premium or just?
Yes.
Okay.
TEP.
Wanted to check. That this is where this decision gets difficult, because now I'm at the 106. It's really between Roma Dunze and Brock Bowers for me. And I like them both. If it's tight end premium, though, man, it is hard to pass up a guy like Brock Bowers in a tight end premium league.
That's why 107 is nice.
I know. Yeah, because you get that elite tier. You know, Bowers didn't test, and I think a lot of people are off of him. If he tested, I feel like Bowers would be in the conversation as early as 104.
He did a standing backflip at his size. Like, there's a video
he's the most athletic insurance agent you'll ever see.
Like, a standing backflip.
I have no question about Brock Bowers' athleticism. I have no question about his resume. I really have no questions about Brock Bowers, the player. And in a tight end premium league, both you and I know the importance of that position. If you have for instance, like, I have rosters with Sam Laporta all over them, and I have picks in this 104 to 106 range, I am going to be extremely tempted to pair Sam Laporta and Brock Bowers together and dominate the position every single week. Every single week. And for that reason, and this is really tough, but the positional advantage is going to make me pick Brock Bowers at 106 over Roma Dunze. Because Brock Bowers, it's, you know, everyone was always like, oh, Kelce, such a cheat, such an advantage at the position. The new dawn of tight ends is upon us. The old guard is aging out. We have guys like Laporta. We have Kincaid now. We have Brock. We have McBride. We have all these guys under 25 years old that are taking over. And I want a piece of that, because I think Brock Bowers, out of any of those guys, he's the best prospect we've seen since Kyle Pitts. And I know people shit on Pitts, but 1,000 yards in his rookie year.
Is that like a subcategory, Doug, that we don't
shit
know?
On Pitts? Just like, today we have a hairless armpit.
What are you watching? Nothing.
Nothing. Don't check my search history.
Only fans.
So for me, Brock Bowers, remember when Pitts was the elite prospect and he was going 103?
Yeah.
People were 104.
He after his rookie year, he was a
fringe.
He was a fringe first round startup pick in tight end premium. Yes.
And if Brock Bowers goes to the Jets, which he has been mocked at a lot, at last I checked, he would be the number two receiver on that team, much like Sam Laporta was for Detroit, because I'm not worried about Mike Williams. I'm not worried about Alan freaking Lazard. Bowers is going to be the number two target getter on that team, and it's going to be wheels the frick up. So Brock Bowers, 106.
Yeah. I think if we are looking back at the draft and say you pass on Bowers for like a JJ McCarthy, you are legit going to kick yourself, because we've been talking about Bowers since he was a freshman. Guy legit broke records in college for a tight end. And now we're just kind of like, oh, I don't know.
Two-time Mackey Award winner, and he should have won it in his freshman year.
Yeah. Like, it's unheard of. He is one of the best tight end prospects we've seen ever. Mm-hmm. So I agree. And, you know, my 107 pick is easy. It's Rome. He is the first receiver taken last year. He would be right up there with like Garrett Wilson for me the year before that, like when Garrett Wilson was drafted. Yeah, for me, it's Rome. And he is somebody who, if he goes to the Bears, perfect. He gets to grow with Caleb. I mean, they were on a plane together. Like, they've already kind of got a mini relationship. Rome's just seems like one of those guys you want on a team. He seems like he's been comped to Davante Adams by Matt Harmon. He seems like he's got a great personality. He stayed on the field to get a better three-cone drill. He's laughing up with Caleb on a plane, talking about landing the plane. Don't worry, he's the pilot. Yeah, it's Rome is an elite player. He to me is the guy that the AJ Brown that we're going to be so happy getting later in the draft and being like, how in the world did we get this guy? Oh, yeah, that's right, because we got two other elite receivers in this class.
Is pretty stacked, yeah.
Yeah, so if you have 107, which I do as well, I'm ahead of Doug, I am very happy because I love both Rome and Brock. Even if Neighbors falls, who knows? Maybe May falls, who knows? Like,
anything can happen.
107, I think, is the elite tier. And then we get another tier break into the we'll see where they land tier.
Yep. Yeah, and that brings me to 108. And this is, again, a clear tier break for me. But this player is going to get first-round draft capital. I think he's going to go to a team with an established quarterback, whether it's a Trevor Lawrence, a Matthew Stafford, a Joe Burrow. Those are all good things. You know, his comp has been pretty similar to DK Metcalf because he's really only run the majority of two different routes in college. And he's got the athleticism and speed. You know, 17 touchdowns led NCAA last year in Jaden Daniels' historic season where he won the Heisman. But it's Brian Thomas Jr. I know he's got a rotator cuff issue right now that hopefully that's not going to knock him too much on draft day. I'm not too worried about that when it comes to a wide receiver. If it was a running back, yes, I'd be a little bit more worried. I'm not too worried about it. For me, Brian Thomas Jr. is the first player in the next tier here in this year's first round.
All right, that's fair. So for me, this is where it gets interesting. And landing, this will be landing spot dependent because if he does land with, say, the Broncos, which I just don't like their situation, or New York, I don't like that situation. But if he lands with the Vikings, say the Vikings do get this player, say they trade up the 5 with the Chargers, which I do think, you know, we're going to see kind of, oh, that's ironic type thing. And that's my feeling is the Chargers trade back to Minnesota with Minnesota to let Minnesota get JJ McCarthy, like Harbaugh pretty much like passing him off to the Vikings, being like, here you go. Here's the player I've, you know, said is the best Michigan quarterback of all time. And that is JJ McCarthy. Good thing about McCarthy, he's just a baby, just a wee baby. And also another thing, he can run an offense and be just, he can be the robot that O'Connell will need him to be, like Kirk Cousins was, and like Brock Purdy is for Shanahan. J.J. McCarthy, people knock him for his throwing power and arm strength. He threw 61 miles an hour at the combine, which was a mile per hour slower than Joe Milton. Joe Milton has a laser, a cannon. Like, that is all he is. Like
a howitzer, if you will.
Yes. If you put Joe Milton's arm on any of the four quarterbacks that are in the top tier, he's a bona fide 101. Like, even if Caleb Williams was the same and say May had his arm or Daniels had his arm, like, they're going 101 probably because it is Josh Allen-esque talent that he has as an arm. And JJ McCarthy is not that far behind. He's got athleticism. He's got a winning college pedigree. I think everything is there for him to succeed except the situation. The situation will scare the bejesus out of me if it is the Broncos. It will scare the bejesus out of me if it's the Raiders, even. Because we've all seen what Luke Getsy can do. So,
and what he can't do.
Yes. So if JJ, there's one team. If he lands with the Vikings, okay. If he lands with the Patriots, I still don't mind that. Because
if he lands with the Giants, not terrible.
That's true, but
Dable.
If he lands with the Giants, the issue is with Dable. They need to win now. And if they don't win with this pick, he's gone. Then he's got another OC he's got to deal with and all that fun stuff. So,
See. So
for me, if he lands with just the Vikings, yes, I think JJ McCarthy will be the 105. He'll actually slide up way further than this pick. So if I'm drafting here and I see JJ at 109, I'm jumping for joy if he's on the Vikings. Like, he's definitely landing spot dependent.
That's, I think that's the only spot that I would be even. I'm not a JJ McCarthy guy. We've talked about it on the pod before, but if he were to go to the Vikings and he has that supporting cast around him, I would be interested in this range, but I'm not going to be the one that goes up to like 105, 106 for JJ. I'd have to be pretty desperate at quarterback with these other studs on the board to do that. But I agree with your mindset there. Let's keep it rolling. I'm going to go 110, and I'm going to take the first running back off the board. I know that might be a hot take to some of you, but when Jonathan Brooks gets picked in the second round, probably to the Dallas Cowboys, I mean, that's the easy link, right? I know he's coming off the ACL. I think he'll be fine by the start of the season, and he may not get a ton of work in the beginning, but I think he's going to be the starting running back for the Dallas Cowboys in one of the best offenses in the league. You know, I look at Jonathan Brooks and he reminds me a lot of Aaron Jones, who we both know I loved. For me, it's Brooks at 110. It's pretty easy here. I know the wide receiver class is deep and all. I'm not afraid of these running backs like a lot of people are. So for me, Brooks, I think Brooks, if he gets drafted by Dallas, he's immediately a top 10 dynasty running back.
Okay. Like, I mean, he was 90%.
Which isn't saying much because Ken Walker is number 10 right now.
I mean,
he's sharing a backfield with Zach Charbonnet.
Like somebody on a podcast today mentioned, like, he was 90% of Bijan in that offense before he got hurt. So, like, he is a legit talent. He's got everything you want. It's just the injury. That's the only thing that's holding him back. So, yeah, if he lands in a good situation, we could be looking at a top 10 running back in dynasty without him even touching the field until week 2, 3, or 4.
Yep.
My next pick, I think you guys all know if you've listened to the podcast, and that is Ladd McConkey. I just love the player. I think he is pretty much a first-round pick. We're looking at the late first, early second-ish range for him. Great route runner, great separator, has everything you want out of a player. Speed, he's not just a bona fide slot guy. He's got the speed. And if a team like Kansas City or Buffalo gets him, I think he's a perfect fit for them. He can do everything you need. I get the outside metrics aren't great. He didn't really have a great year. But Georgia was one of those teams that was like Brock Bowers, run the ball, defense. So I don't think they need much from Ladd. So for me, Ladd is my pick at 111, and hopefully he gets that draft capital.
Let us hope so. So we're at the very back end of the first round, and this is where I don't mind. You're a championship team if you're at the 112, right? And you're looking at your roster. You may go best player available. You may go team need. I think this player, there's a good chance he might go in the first round of the NFL draft. It's a premium position. I've kind of come around a little bit on this player.
Don't say it.
I think there's some upside here depending on where he goes. And it could be Seattle. It could be Las Vegas. We'll see. All the wide receivers here I have questions about. There's not anyone where I'm like, slam dunk, Adonai Mitchell. No. Like, or slam dunk, Xavier Worthy or Troy Frank. No. Like, no. So I'm going to take a guy. He's a little bit older, but he's probably the best thrower of the football in this draft. It's Michael Penix Jr.
Okay. I thought you were going to go one of the Texas guys that, I love, this was my pick. I love this pick for you. I think Penix is a first rounder. He will be a first round pick. Everything.
I think he's going to be too.
And apparently the medicals aren't as bad as what people thought they would be. But he is one of the better throwers of the football we have seen come through the draft in a while. Like, he can throw every throw with accuracy, touch, power.
Hell of a team leader by all accounts, and that goes a long way in the NFL.
That's
and if steaming up J.J. McCarthy, why isn't it steaming up Michael Penix as much?
If he has a good offensive line, I think we're looking at, and like you said, a scheme, an offensive line. Say he lands with the Vikings. Say the Vikings don't actually trade up. This would be a great landing spot.
Yep. 100%. All right. We are kicking off the second round. Back to you, Tyler.
All right. I'm going to go with one of those Texas receivers and Xavier Worthy. For me, it is just based off of the 40 time. I love the 40 time. I mean, fastest guy in the combine ever. So for me, he's going to get the draft capital. I've there's rumblings it's Miami. What if Miami takes him? What if Buffalo takes him? If any of those teams take him, we're looking at him probably pushed up to 110. Jonathan Brooks, people might look. I don't know. Probably not. Like, he'll probably go above Ladd for people who aren't big fans of Ladd. But Worthy, to me, I get, oh, he's just a speed guy. He's not. He's a great route runner. He can do things differently. So for me, we got to get rolling in this second round. So for me, I'll keep it short. Worthy. Okay.
All right, Worthy at 201. I'm going to take Trey Benson at the 202, the second running back off the board. Like I said, I'm not scared of this running back class. I think Trey Benson will get drafted in the second round. Now, obviously, depending on where he goes could be key to his value. He could go up or down, but I like Trey Benson. You know, the running a sub 4.4 at his size, his ability for explosive plays, I know he can be a little bit maddening when you watch Florida State tape. He's years away from that bad knee injury. I'm not concerned about that. So for me, Trey Benson offers a lot of value in, you know, we'll talk single QB drafts in a little bit. But to get the second running back at the 202, I'm cool with that.
All right. So I'm up next. And at this spot, oh, do I want to? I don't know if I want to. I definitely am not taking him.
Yeah.
I will take a player I really like, and that is Roman Wilson.
Okay.
It may be early, but I'm going to stick to my guns and pick a player I like rather than don't like. I know we got a player on the board right now that people are probably yelling at us on the screen, like, why isn't he gone? Just like you guys did for Kendre Miller last year when we didn't take him in the first or second round of a rookie draft. You know, we just got the players we like and the players we don't like. And Roman Wilson is a player I really like. I get he'll probably be a second or third round pick, but I'm not worried about it. The talent will rise. And to me, he's a player that can land with the Bills, and the Bills just take something else, a different need in defense in the first round. So I really like Roman Wilson. And, oh, I see what Doug has done.
You know, for me at the 204, you know, the rumblings are range. That this player will go in the first round. There are rumblings that some teams have taken him off the board because of some of his like lackluster, the ball's not coming to me. Xavier Worthy did some of that too, so don't get it twisted with the Texas offense. I'm going to take A.D. Mitchell, a very polarizing prospect. But I like the athleticism. His tape stands out pretty well in a, you know, where he was the second pass catcher in that offense. So his, you know, teammate scores and things like that are favorable for him. So A.D. Mitchell, he's probably going to be a first rounder. Maybe he goes to Buffalo. And if that happens, he's probably going to get steamed up into the first round because people are going to be like vacated targets. They don't have size. Josh Allen, yada, yada, yada. But for now, A.D. Mitchell at 204.
All right. So for me, I am a huge riser on this.
Damn. Look at that.
The Senator. The nickname given from the, you know, by the fantasy footballers, the Senator Ben Sinnott is my pick. And here's why. I really liked his tape, and his athleticism was through the roof. And when you have Thor Nystrom comparing him, he has no other comparison he can give. And it's Sam Laporta. And Thor, other than Doug, was one of the biggest Sam Laporta praisers I saw last year. Thor took him in Scott Fishbowl. Four rounds earlier than anyone should have, and it worked. Because you want to know why? Thor is a great evaluator talent. Ben Sinnott is a guy that is a very high riser. We're probably going to see him early second-round pick. We'll probably see him around that range. And his value will probably be right around here, maybe a little later, but I think in a tight end premium.
I mean, this was Laporta's range last year, right?
Yes.
I traded up into these spots in the between the 203 and 207 is where I targeted and got Laporta in a lot of leagues last year.
Yes. And so Ben Sinnott is my pick. I get there's a lot of good receivers and running backs left, but for me, give me the positional value at tight end and a player that could really, really rise up into that top eight tight ends in Dynasty, which we are seeing tight ends grow more and more in rankings and in Dynasty, which is a great thing. And I think Sinnott will be right up there.
I agree. And talking about positional scarcity, this is the last one of this position that should be in the conversation in the top two rounds. I know a lot of people don't like him. Some people do like him, and I think he has the chance to go in the first round as well. I don't know that he will, but if not, he's going to go in the top of the second. And in a super flex league, I don't mind taking the last guy at the 206, and that's Bo Nix, because you know what? If he does come in, and maybe he's the last guy, but maybe he has a solid rookie season, guess what? You can flip him for a first pretty easily, because that's the way that quarterbacks are valued in super flex leagues. So, you know, he has the experience. He's accurate. Depends on where he goes, but I'm willing to take the gamble at 206 to get the last draftable quarterback, in my opinion, in the top 3.5 rounds.
All right, and then to move on quickly, 207 will be Ricky Pearsall. Just
I like that.
A very interesting prospect. Great hands, faster than we thought, good route runner, a little older, but for me, it's the injuries that kind of hampered him, but if he gets a good landing spot, I think we'd be looking at a really good player.
I agree.
And there's
with that.
A lot of smart people that love Ricky Pearsall.
Yes, that is very true. And there's a lot of smart people that also like my 208, and that's running back Blake Corum out of Michigan.
Cool.
I don't think he does anything like super duper flashy, but I think he's going to be a solid pro, much like a Doug Martin. A lot of people compare him to a Ray Rice on the field. And I think he's just that kind of guy that, like, does he have an Austin Eckler type upside? I don't think so from a pass catching standpoint, but you never know. I just think Corum is a really, really good freaking football player. And at the 208, he's the running back 3. I think he drops in somewhere where he's going to compete and possibly win at least a 2-down role and maybe even better than that. So for me, Blake Corum out of Michigan, easy 208.
All right. For me, 209 is going to be Jalen Wright. Hopefully he gets a draft capital to back up the crazy athleticism he has.
He is crazy athletic.
And the home run speed. You know, say he lands on a 49ers to back up McCaffrey. Woo! Wheels up, because those couple games, McCaffrey needs to sit a little bit more. Jalen Wright is going to explode, and that is going to be very promising for him. I know McCaffrey's McCaffrey, but hey, if he lands on the 49ers, he'll definitely get some shots, because they'll probably want to take back some carries from McCaffrey the older he gets. But that's just hypothetical where he could land. But Jalen Wright is one of those ultra athletes.
Yeah, he is. A lot of people like Kamara. I'm like, oh, because he has Tennessee on his helmet? Like, come on. Get out of here.
Yeah.
I'm going to go at 210. I think this is pretty good value for this player. It's Bo Nix's teammate, Troy Franklin. Is he does he have question marks? Yes. Like, his hands are questionable. He doesn't catch the ball well in traffic, but he's explosive. I think he's faster than what he tested, at least on the NFL field. He's tall. Reminds me a little bit about Tyquan Thornton, but actually good, because he knows how to run routes, unlike Tyquan Thornton, who, if you haven't seen Tyquan Thornton, by the way, totally bulked up in the offseason. Does it mean anything? No clue. But he added a lot of muscle, so he looks cool in a uniform. But Troy Franklin here at the 210, I think this is pretty good value for a player that probably gets picked round 2, round 3. I think is probably where Troy Franklin's going to go.
That's fair. All right, this is my last pick. You know what? I'm going to go get one of my guys. Jalen McMillan
Okay. Is
going to be my pick. I think he's a good player. And I know there's some stats back it up, but when McMillan was healthy and Polk and Odunze was there, especially a couple years ago, he was the guy. He was the one. Like, Odunze wasn't the stat producer as he was, and they thought Polk could have been that guy, but it was McMillan. And then McMillan has an injury this year, but if you look at it, when they were all three on the field, it went Odunze this year, McMillan, then Polk for stats. And for me, I think McMillan is one of those guys, people compare him to a plus Tyler Boyd. If I can get that in the back of the second,
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, that's fine with me. Say he lands with Cincinnati and becomes our wide receiver 3 for this year, and then maybe 2 next year. I love his game. I think his game translates to the NFL and what we see today. He's a good separator. He's got great hands. He's a good route runner. Yeah, give me the. I'm going to take a shot on a guy that I love, other than these higher upside guys.
Yeah, 100%. Let's close out the second round with another player who has a fascinating draft profile, who did literally almost nothing in the first couple of years of his collegiate career, like not even 200 yards receiving, and then boom, 1,300 yards receiving. It's South Carolina wide receiver Xavier Leggett. Very interesting to see where he's going to get drafted. He's a little bit raw, but he is that prototypical size from an X receiver standpoint. He's fast. His range of outcomes are wide, and I think that's why you're going to be able to get him closer to the end of the second round, unless he gets really smoked up with draft capital and he lands in a spot where he can play on day one.
Rumor has it, it's Carolina. The first pick in the second round. He has told a reporter that Carolina has told him that if he's there, they'll take him.
All right, move Mingo into the big slot where he should be.
Oh, my God. Like, Mingo and Leggett are almost the same player. That's the scariest part.
I'll agree to disagree on that. But Leggett here at the 212, if he goes to Carolina at the first pick in the second round, Leggett will be a mid-second rounder, I bet.
Yeah.
Give or take. But all right. He's fascinating to me. I like the profile athletically, but
Jason Moore in an NFL podcast today with Bucky Brooks. Congratulations, Jason Moore. You made the first draft podcast or whatever they call it. He talked about Xavier Leggett as one of his guys, but we have never seen anything like this. And Jason Moore even said, like, you go back, there's never been a fifth year breakout where nothing before has happened. And then he had a monster season, and everything you see on tape is he is a monster. Like, he is legit so good in 2023 tape. So this is going to be an interesting case study.
It's a roll of the dice for Xavier.
Yes. And at, we'll and at 212, yeah, 100% you're taking that role because he could be the one in Carolina in no time.
Yep.
All right. Exactly. Now let's move on to the single.
All right.
This I think we can get through rather quickly.
Yeah, we can do this pretty quick.
You went Marv. I'm going to go Neighbors at 102. And, I mean, we already went into detail about Neighbors and all them.
Yeah, are we sticking with tight end premium or just going regular?
We'll just go regular.
Regular? I'm going to take Rome Odunze at one. I'm going to take Rome Odunze at the 103.
I'm still taking Bowers at 104 because I think he's just an elite player and elite tier.
I'm going to take the first running back off the board. It's going to be Jonathan Brooks for me in a single QB. I know that's a little different than what I did earlier, but I'm just going to go with Brooks.
That's fair. I'm actually going to go with Caleb because I think right in this tier, getting a top-tier quarterback, a Pat Mahomes-esque style quarterback, especially in the good offense, I think the safety is great here. And,
yeah. I like that. At 107, I'll take BTJ for the upside, and I think he's going to get paired with a near-elite or elite quarterback in the draft, and that means a lot to me.
All right. Give me Ladd at 108. As you can see, like, it definitely falls off a lot quicker without these quarterbacks.
Oh, 100%. So you've got Ladd. You know what? I'll go Trey Benson.
Okay.
Off the board at 109.
That is fair. And I will take, in a single quarterback, I'm going for more upside with quarterback. So give me Jane Daniels just on the rushing upside, just because if you look at values for players, the rushing quarterback and single quarterback is elite tier, high level, because you get the extra rushing yards, and it matters so much more in single quarterback than it still matters in super flex, but you look at it in more detail in single quarterback.
Yeah, it really does. Not a huge fan of this player. I'm hoping that he's an outlier, but with the speed and at the end of the first round in a single quarterback, I'll go with Xavier Worthy.
Okay. All right, since I'm the last pick in the first round, I'm going to go upside and just eliteness. So for me, I'm going to go with Jalen Wright and hope that the speed and upside can carry my team.
I like that. 201. You know, I don't mind taking a quarterback here at the 201. You know, you finished in last. You got Marv at the 101, right? So I don't mind taking a quarterback in single QB leagues here because I think he has a lot of upside, and I'm looking at other players and I'm like, I'm going to take Drake May at 201 in a single QB.
Okay. At 202, I will take Roman Wilson.
You love some Roman Wilson. I'll take AD Mitchell because he's falling again. So again, assuming that he gets first round draft capital and he goes to a team like Buffalo, or maybe, I don't think he'll go to the Chiefs, but you know, he'll be in one of those playoff teams that's already in a good situation. So I think A.D. Mitchell at the 203 is pretty good value here in a single QB.
Okay. Just kind of mix it up. I'll go Blake Corum, a nice running back I do like. I do think he has his limitations with his height, but he's just a good football player. And if there's one player that I truly loved back in the day who I comp him to, it's Devonta Freeman, and I see a lot of him in Corum.
Yep. I will go Ricky Pearsall here. I think he is a super safe floor type of player and could have like an easy 10-year career based on his skill set. I know he's not the most exciting prospect, but I think he's just a really solid overall player.
Okay. At 206, I'm going to take Ben Sinnott just because I am slowly falling in love with this guy.
Yes, and, you are.
So 206, I'll take Sinnott and get the other tight end out of the way.
There you go. I like that. Let's see. You know what? I'm going to mix it up a little bit. I'm going to go with Leggett. Now that I've talked about Leggett and Troy Franklin, Leggett's upside is just super intriguing to me. So I'll go Xavier Leggett at the 207.
Okay. That's fair. That's fair. At the 208, I will give you a name that we have not mentioned, and that is Will Shipley. It's just landing spot dependent. White Lightning. Yep. He's definitely been a riser to a lot of people, but his pass catching ability is second to none. You've probably heard it on other podcasts, but the guy lined up 20% in the slot at Clemson. So he's pretty much a receiver playing running back. He's a great route runner, great hands catcher. So I'm going to go Will Shipley, kind of mix it up, give you something different.
Hey, nothing wrong with that. Ooh, here's one name we haven't mentioned, and I'm not even going to say it because I just don't want to. I'm just going to stay away from him, and we can talk about it afterward. This is a good one. I'm trying to think who I like here. You know, I'm going to mix it up a little bit too, and I'm going to go Marshawn Lloyd. I think he's going to get good draft capital. I know he has some ball security issues, but the size, the speed is really intriguing to me. And I think he's had a great Senior Bowl week, which steamed him up quite a bit for a couple weeks there. So Marshawn Lloyd at the 209. Look at all these running backs.
You're not going to tempt me to take a player that is on my do not draft list. So I'm not going to.
I think it's the same player I just talked about.
Troy Franklin?
No, Keon Coleman for me.
Okay, Keon Coleman was actually close on my super flex one because there is his gauntlet speed time was great. So maybe he just has football speed and doesn't have the track speed.
Possible.
Who knows? I'm going to mix it up and take another receiver I really like, but apparently he's a knucklehead, and that's Jermaine Burton at 210. Georgia transfer, Alabama player. He's a great player, good route runner. He is something that I mean, the next Puka. No, he is not the next Puka, but he has the ability to be a round one talent. But it's just apparently he doesn't get along with people. Some people say the Steelers could turn him around. He is a perfect Deontay Johnson replacement. The issue is you have Arthur Smith, and Arthur Smith hates receivers or any talented players on offense. So other than one running back or two running backs or five running backs, but Jermaine Burton has all the talent in the world, and I think he deserves to be around this area.
Gotcha. I'm going to take a wide receiver right after that. Another one we haven't talked about yet, and that is Malachi Corley. I think he has a very unique skill set, which has been, you know, a lot of people, Deebo, whatever. I just think he has a very unique skill set. He's great after the catch. Big, you know, he's bulky. He can stand up for some punishment. I think that in the right system, he could be a very, very good fantasy player. So to get Corley here towards the end of the second round, and I think he's going to get good draft capital. So Corley at 211, I'm down with it.
All right. These players have hurt me so much in the past, and it worked with one of them.
It's not a kicker, is it?
It's not. he did not test very well in the combine, but his tape says otherwise. His tape has shown big 50-yard runs, 60-yard runs. I mentioned him before.
Notre Dame.
I
knew it.
I follow Notre Dame. I get notifications, big Notre Dame fan. And Kyren Williams was one of the players that if you follow, like, oh, scores a 60-yard rush. Holy crap. Kyren Williams, 80-yard run. Holy crap. And then the same goes with Audric Esme at 212. And for me, the speed is there on tape, the football speed. And what he does is he is a massive human being. He is huge. Mm-hmm. He is built like a rock. He's not like, I would say he's not Brandon Jacobs, like, thickness, but he is like a rock. He is built, mm-hmm. and he is a good running back that, yeah, he doesn't have that extreme breakaway speed, but he has the speed to make big chunk plays. I'm not nervous about that. It's pretty much draft. What draft capital does he get? And if it's like a fourth round pick and he goes to a team that, say, Dallas actually waits. Dallas waits and takes him. Like, there's so, like, say Cincinnati waits and takes him. I'm not a big Zach Moss believer. Yeah, okay. You're telling me this guy's a fourth round pick on Cincy? Yeah, I'll sign up for that. Mm-hmm. And also, I just like Payne and Notre Dame running backs hurting me.
Hey, Kyren worked out at least finally.
Kyren did work out.
I think a lot of things that you just said about Audric Estime, and there's a player that didn't make our two rounds here, but it's Bucky Irving. He looks so much faster on tape. And I know he's smaller, but his football speed is way better than his 40 time. And I think Estime and Bucky Irving are very similar in that way. Obviously, yep. Not the same size. They're very different. But yeah, that trust the tape when you look at it, because there's guys that have tested in the NFL, like a Keenan Allen. He might have run like a 4.5 something, but he just makes it work, and he looks so much faster on the NFL field.
There's a lot of players we didn't mention, like a Tez Walker, if you're a fan.
Javian Sanders, Braylon Allen.
Like, if this was an actual draft, I would probably have McMillan still in this. I'd go get my guys, and McMillan's one of them, so I'd probably take him over a Will Shipley at 208. So we just kind of want to mix it up. I know people will probably be like, well, how come you guys didn't match up with the Superflex draft? Well, it's because we want to give you some extra names and just show how deep this is and how those third-round picks are going to matter, because we didn't even mention a lot of people that will get good draft capital, because this is a very, very good offensive draft. So this was more of a thing to show you, like, hey, if some of these running backs get draft capital, wheels up.
Yeah, and a lot of this will change after Saturday. So it's going to be super interesting to see, you know, what the differences are when we circle back to it. That is going to wrap us up this week. Tyler, thank you so much. Our mock drafts are over. I'm officially in NFL draft mode on Thursday, going to Western New York. I'll be there for a few days and then coming home. And then we'll be podcasting on Sunday to talk about all the draftiness things that are going on, as well as we'll have some drafts going. It's going to be a hectic but fun time of the year for us in our leagues. So thank you for joining us along the ride. Shout out to Trophy Smack. Also wanted to give a shout out to Manscaped. You can save 20% with them using code DHH when you go on and check out their new products. They've got some awesome new stuff. And then Underdog, code DHH as well. They'll match up to $100 when you deposit today. So check them out. They got a lot of cool things going on Underdog as well. NBA playoffs are going on, hockey playoffs, baseball, there's golf, NASCAR, everything.
The other sports are wild right now. Like basketball, hockey is actually like legit awesome right now. There's so much going on.
Playoff hockey is always awesome. So.
That's true. Playoff hockey is great.
Best playoffs?
Maybe.
Long season sport.
Yes,
NFL playoffs are great too, but hockey playoffs is nothing like a hockey playoff environment.
Agree.
So that's going to wrap us up for Dynasty Happy Hour. Enjoy the draft. Hopefully your favorite team gets all the players that you want, and if they don't, so be it. We'll see you next week on the Dynasty Happy Hour.